Hello, and welcome to Capital Compass. We are the official podcast of the New York State Catholic Conference. I'm your host, Jillian. Today, in episode 23, I'll be talking with Bishop Douglas Lucia of the Diocese of Syracuse about faithful citizenship. Every 4 years, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops releases a statement called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. This document, which has had several incarnations through the years, is designed to highlight the responsibility of Catholics to vote and to serve as a guidepost for Catholics in making their decisions at the ballot box. With Election Day coming up on November 8th, we wanted to talk about the intersection of politics and Catholicism. Joining us to talk about politics and Catholicism is Bishop Douglas Lucia of the Diocese of Syracuse. A native of the North Country, Bishop Lucia was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Ogdensburg in 1989 and was appointed Bishop of the Diocese of Syracuse in 2019. Welcome to the show, Bishop.
Thank you, Jillian.
So let's start very broadly. What do bishops mean by faithful citizenship?
Well, again, if we go back really to St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, it speaks about that our citizenship is in heaven. And so really, it is that citizenship, in a sense, directs our citizenship on earth, that even on this earth, as we often use, we're a pilgrim people, we're pilgrims, and yet we find ourselves in particular lands or whatever. And really, as Catholic Christians, what we're invited to do is to bring our faith in the kingdom of God. So often we read in the scriptures, the kingdom of God is near or is at hand. And so how do you and I help God's kingdom to be seen today, especially some of the what we would call the marks of that kingdom, what we also speak of as marks of the church.
Now, the U.S. Bishop's document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, is quite lengthy, especially in this era of social media and short attention spans. How would you narrow down the key points that the bishops are looking to make?
Well, actually, maybe I can help with that by just, there's a new introductory letter to the document. And actually, they quote Pope Francis from the encyclical letter Gaudete et exalte, rejoice and be glad. And in that he says, your identification with Christ and his will involves a commitment to build with him that kingdom of love, justice, and universal peace. You cannot grow in holiness without committing yourself, body and soul, to giving your best to this endeavor. So right away, Pope Francis is saying that we have a commitment to build. And the very first paragraph of the document you speak of, Forming Consciences for the Faithful, actually says this: as Catholics, we bring the richness of our faith to the public square. We draw from both faith and reason as we seek to affirm the dignity of the human person and the good of all. With renewed hope, we, the Catholic Bishops of the United States, are reissuing Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, our teaching document on the political responsibility of Catholics, which provides guidance for all who seek to exercise their rights and duties as citizens. So actually, the document itself is a teaching document. It is very much grounded first and foremost in the dignity of the human person and the common good. As Pope Francis would have illustrated that more, especially in his encyclical Fratelli Tutti, along with Laudato Si.
You know, mentioned in this document is forming our consciences. And the concept of that can be a difficult one for many people to grasp. You know, we tend to think that our conscience is our conscience and nobody can change that. But what are the bishops really trying to say in terms of us forming our consciences?
Well, what the church is saying, especially in the idea of the forming of our consciences, is that, yes, each one of us has a conscience. And it really comes down to, it's like asking when Jesus was asked the question by the teacher of the law. And this happens in Luke chapter 10 and then also in Luke chapter 18, he's asked the question, what must I do? That's a question of conscience. What must I do? And Jesus answers back, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he gives as the basic of, in a sense, of that forming of conscience. It's like, how do you and I love God and love neighbor today? And another place we can turn is to Matthew chapter 25, which we often refer to as the last judgment. But the last judgment is that parable of the sheep and the goats and Jesus' words, when I was hungry, you gave me food, when I was thirsty. And many scripture scholars, many theologians say, what you and I will be judged on in the very end is the way we put God's love, which was personified, literally that word personified in Jesus Christ. How is Jesus Christ seen through us today? So the forming of conscience is, it goes back to that question that we used to hear, I think, of another generation where we would hear the initials WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, and I don't want to interrupt your question, but I think for me, one of the things, though, that we have to be careful of is what would Jesus do? Is Jesus would certainly show compassion and show care for a person wherever they're at on the road of life. He wouldn't kick them when they're down. But that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't have principles he lived by. And I think that's where in the church, especially with the forming of consciences, what we want people to do is that not everything goes. It's not this idea that, oh, God loves us, so he'll love us no matter what. Well, yes, God loves us no matter what, but it makes a difference what we do. And that's why it's very hard for me. And I know some people would disagree with me, but I really wholeheartedly say I cannot see how we can divorce, say, the idea of the sanctity of human life, which the churches teach as a foundational principle. We cannot divorce that from our politics. We cannot separate that from our politics. That what we do in the political arena, if we are approaching it as Catholic Christians, then first and foremost on our mind must be the dignity and the sanctity of human life. And therefore, that means then, how do I vote? Knowing that in my conscience, what does this mean? What does my vote mean when I'm voting for this candidate or that candidate or on that issue, like on that proposition? It is really a matter of us. That's the conscience part. It's like, what is the teaching of Jesus? But also, what is the teaching of his church? I think that's the other thing we forget. As Catholics, the church, we believe that the church is founded by Jesus Christ. And so it's our call to remain faithful to his teaching.
That actually puts me in a great transition to my next question. Talking about the sanctity of life and everything surrounding that, you know, the question of abortion is always associated with Catholic voters. You know, forming consciences for faithful citizenship addresses abortion and other intrinsic evils, intrinsic evils being things like euthanasia, unjust war, racism, and, right, you know, a lot of other things in that realm. But guidance is not exactly black and white. So can you kind of sum up what the bishops say about voting for politicians who support these threshold issues? You know, especially in this political climate, it's really hard to look at it.
Well, it's interesting. In the document itself, it talks about Catholics having to make moral choices. And actually, in paragraph 34, it says, Catholics often face difficult choices about how to vote. This is why it is so important to vote according to a well-formed conscience that perceives the proper relationship among moral goods. A Catholic cannot vote for a candidate who favors a policy promoting an intrinsically evil act, such as abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, those you just mentioned, deliberately subjecting workers or the poor to subhuman living conditions, redefining marriage in a way that violates its essential meaning, or racist behavior. If the voter's intent is to support that position, in such cases, Catholics would be guilty of formal cooperation in grave evil. But at the same time, a voter should not use a candidate's opposition to an intrinsic evil to justify indifference or inattentiveness to other important moral issues involving human life and dignity. So it is a balancing act. What they're saying is, as we look at the candidates, is no, we should not be voting for candidates who deliberately promote intrinsically evil moral acts. But at the same time, in casting, and part of that is also this idea of, and I think this is where that well-formed conscience comes from, what it's also saying is, what it's inviting us to do is to really consider how we vote. And what I mean by that is, I think our country has for a long time now had really two main political parties, Democrat, Republican. And I think sometimes it's like, whether it's because we were raised in a certain area of the country or we were raised in a certain family, well, I'm always this or I'm always that regarding our political affiliation. And what the church is saying today, no, your voting has to go beyond the political affiliation. Your voting has to be, as we said already, what promotes the dignity of and sanctity of human life, and what promotes also the common good. And so that's where that other line is about in evaluating the candidates. It doesn't mean because we don't find a worthy candidate on either side, we throw, and that's a big discussion in society today in our country about the quality of our political candidates. But that doesn't mean we're not involved in the political process, but it does mean that we're called to choose carefully.
It's a very interesting subject, definitely. But I think what we really want to hit home to everybody is kind of, we're following Catholic teaching and it doesn't line up with any, you know, perfectly line up with any political party.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about, as we should go and vote, but it doesn't mean that it will perfectly line up. And I don't think we, and that's why I mentioned about, like, sometimes our famous line in church, it's always been that way. And that can happen outside the church. Well, my family's always voted for this one political party or that one. Well, I think what the church is saying, look, you need to, in order for us to be responsible citizens, we got to go beyond that.
Yep.
And we've got to look at what is the church's teaching.
Talking about how, you know, the church doesn't fully align with any party, we think about how people who are Catholic are affiliated with different parties. So even though our values don't match the Democrats or the Republicans' platforms, you know, what does the church say about membership in those parties?
Again, that has to be, and that goes along with the freedom of conscience. The person has to have that freedom to choose. The church, and I've been very much, the church can never tell a person which political party to belong to. That has to be a very personal decision. But what the church is saying through its document on faithful citizenship is that a faithful citizen also makes that choice in virtue of the gospel teachings and also the church's teachings.
You know, I think one of the things I really want to emphasize is that we're not trying to tell people how to vote. This whole podcast episode is about trying to give them a little bit of guidance and just want people to think about their faith when voting.
Yeah. And that's true. You know, I just, because I have a copy of the document in front of me, but, you know, Pope Francis, again, this comes from living the gospel of life. But here's what Pope Francis says again. He says, he talks about Catholic voters should use the framework of Catholic social teaching to examine candidates' positions on issues affecting human life and dignity, as well as issues of justice and peace. And they should consider candidates' integrity, philosophy, and performance. It's important for all citizens, and this is the quote, to see beyond party politics, to analyze campaign rhetoric critically, and to choose their political leaders according to principle, not party affiliation or mere self-interest. I don't think we can get clearer than that. And yet, in the document, because it just says, the Catholic approach to faithful citizenship rests on moral principles found in scripture and in Catholic moral and social teaching, as well as in the hearts of all people of goodwill. And so that's what we base our decisions on is this, and again, that's where there's a lot of debate because there's a lot of theories out there, but, and where the church is trying to say is, and this is where the respect for the human person comes in. Some people would object when we talk about the common home. Some would that, oh, well, that's too broad. It sounds like one party politics is some thing. But then on the other hand, this idea of, all of a sudden I'm going to forget the term, but when we forget the past, when we just say, oh, the way we do things currently is what's best. That's not what we believe as a Catholic community, as Catholics. What our two things are based on scripture and tradition. And so our lived experience also brings us principles that we are called to live by.
Exactly. It's something we need to keep top of mind when we're in the voting booth.
Right. And the word I was thinking of is cancel culture.
Oh, yes.
Those who want to cancel it. Cancel culture, everything that gets canceled and the only thing valid is the present moment. And that's like situation ethics. And it's like, no, I mean, even Jesus, we talk about the genealogy. We're a people of history.
Yeah, I think that also cancel culture brings up a good point of forming a good conscience, you know, kind mm-hmm. of thinking about the dignity of people. And again, it also kind of coincides with the whole, the church doesn't align with any party perfectly, that we need to kind of look at all sides.
Yeah, and that's only understandable. We don't align with the perfect, because that's why I began with the scripture I did. Our citizenship is in heaven. So if we're really living even as citizens of heaven, as it says in Corinthians, our tents shall be folded. This is not our permanent station in life. And so therefore, it's like we're on a journey, but where we are right now, almost like the Israelites did when they were sent into exile in Babylon, how do we make the best of where we are right now?
Now, with elections for governor, attorney general, comptroller, one U.S. Senate seat, and the entire congressional delegation, and also the state legislature this year, decisions voters make will have a huge impact on many critical issues. And it will certainly be important for Catholics to apply the principles of faithful citizenship. Yet a lot of people will say that faith and politics shouldn't be mixed. You know, one of the big arguments I've seen is kind of like, you know, you can't mix church and state. You know, what do you kind of have to say to respond to that?
Well, actually, the separation of church and state was really meant to protect the church. In its origins, it was that the government would not interfere with the practice of faith, the practice of a person's faith, that there would be no national religion, so to speak, but that instead people would have that freedom of conscience to worship God. And so for me, when people say, oh, well, there's a separation of church and state, that's where the separation evolved, is for a person to freely follow their conscience. And that's what we're saying in the political process, that we need to follow our consciences. And so really the separation of the church is, of separation of church and state is all about that, that a person needs to be able to have their religious beliefs respected, whether that's regarding abortion, as far as, again, so many times these days in that particular issue, even church entities are being forced to endorse insurance policies. There's different things where we're being forced to say, well, this is part of a package for our employees or things like that. Well, that's not right. If that is violating our beliefs, then that's a violation of church and state. The same thing trying to enforce a definition of marriage on the church that is not our definition. I mean, that's where the violation of church and state. It doesn't, it's not the reverse. And actually, and in fact, even in the United States, so often, and there were previous years, what we call faith-based initiatives. And it was really in our country where they wanted people of faith to actually get involved in the country because they know they made a difference. And I think that's where we have to look when we talk about separation of church and state. One is not to interfere, but doesn't mean the other can't inform.
You know, you talk about faith-based initiatives that we used to have, and I notice a lot of younger people, you know, in my generation are kind of losing their faith. A lot of things when it comes to religion and politics kind of gets lost in translation. And we need the need of a good basis of faith really helps with voting. And, you know, I think we're trying to preach that Catholics care for others. I'm trying to figure out how to ask this.
Well, that's okay. But Jillian, what you're really saying, and I think it's a valid point, what you're also saying is the church, though, also in talking about these principles of the sanctity of human life and the common good of all, they also have to live those principles. That, yep. Okay, it's one thing for us to say all life is sacred, and so we oppose abortion. But on the other hand, what are we doing for the mothers with unexpected pregnancies? How are we reaching out with faith? In fact, letter of James says it so well, faith without works is lifeless, it's dead. And so that, I think, is the change. I mean, we can say what our faith believes, but then we also have to walk the talk.
Thank you. That's actually, yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
It goes very well with, I think, voting. But, you know, kind of speaking of that, obviously, I said earlier, we are in such a polarizing world right now. You know, politics are, you know, we have 24/7 news. Politics are running rampant. Do you have any final words of advice on people to navigate our relationship with politics and religion? It's obviously not a black and white issue, but kind of just some, like, I guess, good tips for people.
Well, I certainly would encourage them to read Faithful Citizenship. I think it's an excellent document in itself to get us thinking. I do think for people considering the voting, I think if anybody tells them this is the way you should vote, then I think that is an error. That is a violation of conscience. That is not church teaching, okay? The church's teaching is the freedom of conscience, the freedom to make that decision, even in the voting booth. The only thing that I say is when we go into the voting booth, we need to vote with the idea of, especially these days, the dignity and the sanctity of human life. And as Pope Francis would say, and Fratelli Tutti, but also that concern for our brothers and sisters. And so how does that get expressed? And again, it's countercultural. I guess that's what the struggle is really, as church, even when we go into the voter booth, it is to be, we're called, the kingdom of God can be countercultural because there's so much that is based on me and what makes me happy and whatever. And that's not really ultimately what our focus is as Christians. Our focus is what gives God the glory. And then our focus is also what about our neighbor? And to be concerned about what our neighbor, like some people say, well, you're imposing when if we oppose certain measures, legislative measures, and they, sometimes Catholics are accused of, well, you're always in opposition to things. It's not that we're always in opposition, but the point is that we're called to be countercultural. We're not called to just to go along with the crowd. In fact, it's just interesting we're talking today because that's what today's gospel is about. There's a line, there's a gospel where today's passage from Luke says, mother shall be divided against daughter and daughter-in-law, son against father. And the idea is that our decision to follow Jesus Christ needs to make a difference in our lives. And sometimes that will divide us from people. But the bottom line is, that is where that's where it's at. That our decision to follow Jesus Christ is makes that. That doesn't mean everybody's going to follow us naturally, not even in Jesus' day. But the bottom line is, by my deciding to follow Jesus, by my deciding to be a Christian, in this case, to be a faithful citizen, yes, I can make a difference. I might not be seen in the voting box. See, that's the thing. I think all of us like to win. We want to be part. We want to be popular, and that's I get that. But actually, where do we win most? Because we end up on a podium, or do we win more because we give witness by the way we live our lives, by what we do on a daily basis? Is that really, and to me, that's what it is to be a faithful citizen and what faithful citizenship is all about.
I want to emphasize one thing you said earlier, and that is that, people trying to get you to vote for certain people, and how the church, we're not affiliated with any of the political parties, and we're not going to tell you who to vote for. Again, this is just trying to give you some guidance.
Right. That's the whole thing. It's trying to help you to, as you form yourself as a citizen, where you can go to, when you're thinking about the issues, where can I go? Well, certainly go on to read Faithful Citizenship. Go on to the USCC website. Go on to the New York State Catholic Conference website. There you will find the Catholic social teaching, Catholic social principles. And those are things we should keep in mind when we go to the voting box. I especially want to turn people's attention to the part three of the document on faithful citizenship, because it talks about goals for political life, challenges for citizens, candidates, and public officials. And so it talks about some of, especially what the church would be hoping that we could do in our nation, okay? And so I just want to encourage people, particularly if you want, if you can't read the whole document, because I see it's about 45 pages, even pages 44, 45 at the very end are very helpful in looking at what we would see as the church's vision, our role as Catholic Christians.
Thank you so much for being our guest. And
all right.
And before I let you go, can I ask you just share a blessing with our listeners as they prepare to perform their civic duty to vote on November 8th?
Oh, sure. We can do that for sure, Joanne. So we pray today that Almighty God may continue to watch over all who now prepare to vote, to exercise their civic responsibility. We ask you, Lord, to let their hearts be always open to your word which is a word of life. And yet also, Lord, as they go to the voting box, they know also the challenges of today. So we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide them. And let that Spirit help them to be enlightened with the gifts of wisdom, understanding, courage, and fear of the Lord. Let them be open to recognizing in their midst their neighbor as well, and be concerned about them. And so, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon our fellow citizens. We ask that you help all who are preparing for November 8th may do so with hearts that are attuned to you, and that together we may continue to be able to help others know that the kingdom of God is near. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Capital Compass podcast, and thank you so much to Bishop Lucia for coming on the show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be coming out with a new episode every other week. If you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and a review. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And To catch the latest from the conference, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at NYS Catholic Conf, or on Facebook at NYS Catholic Conference. Thanks again, and God bless.